It's Wednesday, January 17th. This is your frozen host, Seth Dunn. It's 24 degrees, and there's snow on the ground. You know, yesterday I mentioned on the Christian commute, I didn't think it was going to snow that much. It did, and it's absolutely freezing here. I've got my butt warmer on high. That's how extreme it is. And I am on the way to Kroger, and you're riding with me, your host, Seth Dunn, to Kroger because my wife wants some ribs, and Kroger has ready-made ribs. Sometimes my wife makes food requests, and I'm like, I don't want to go out and spend money on this food. But when she wants ribs, I can't really tell her no because I like ribs, and I want to eat them too. So I'm on my way to Kroger to get some ribs and Little Debbie's. So, going to be a shorter show. Oh, give me a break. There's a tanker truck in front of me going 2 miles an hour. I'm going to pass this guy in the double lane. Is this allowed? I'm not standing behind this tanker truck going 2 miles an hour. I can tell you that. My gosh. This tanker truck almost ruined the Christian commute. I'm looking back. I'm leaving this guy behind in a cloud of dust. He must be going 5 miles an hour. Anyway, sorry, the show continues to drone on. But it's a short show because I have to stop at Kroger. But that's okay because it's not a full show. I'm out of questions in the inbox. The inbox is bone dry. I got some listener feedback in the inbox, which I always appreciate, but not really a question out of it. Today's show topic is going to be called Trump's Religious Advisory Council. Trump's Religious Advisory Council. And remember, I've been trying to do a Threats from Within series and give a general threat, and then the next day give an example of it. So this is an example of ecumenism, and we'll get to it after the Bible chapter review. Today, we are going to finish out Ephesians chapter 3. We are in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. And here Paul is closing his prayer for the Ephesians. Remember, he says, I bow my knees before the Father for your sake. So this is how he closes his prayer. To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask of him. So he's closing his prayer and he's saying, this is my prayer, it's to God, and I'm asking these things to him, and he can do greater than I can even think to ask. I'm sorry, I'm too cold to continue. My hand is like frozen from touching the wheel, and I've got one hand on the wheel and one hand in front of the vent to thaw it out. So that's how difficult the Christian commute is today. So you think about God here. God's so powerful, you don't understand how powerful He is. You know, when we ask somebody, when we need some help, you know, I want to ask this person, is that too much to ask? Really, it's not too much to ask God. He can do it. One of my friends was talking to me today, and she said, I know God's working hard on this, and she stopped herself, and she goes, well, I don't guess it's really hard, because it's not hard for Him. You know, sometimes we think about that, like, oh, it's really not that hard for God to do. My friend Joe Boshears, who I've mentioned on the show before, is forever behind technologically. Like, he's the kind of guy who still has a flip phone. And for years, you know, he'd have a computer and it would be 3 or 4 iterations behind the latest, greatest things. I say, Joe, you need to get a new computer. He goes, well, I want a new computer. But what I'm waiting for is a computer that's also a fax machine and it can fax. And like, Joe, that's called a modem. That's been out for 3 years. So then I'd see him 3 years later, Joe, you need to get a computer. Well, what I'm waiting for, you're talking about it, is a computer that can send my documents to people over the modem, like mail, almost like electronic mail. And I'm like, Joe, that's email. It's been out for 4 or 5 times. So he was waiting for something to exist that already did. And he was so far behind, he didn't even know what the computer could do. Now, God's not a computer, but it's like that. Whatever you ask for God in your need, He can do above and beyond that. God knows your needs before you know them. Say, Seth, how can I not know I have a need? Let's say you have cancer and you don't know it. So you need radiation treatment. You need to change your diet. You might need surgery to remove the tumor. So there's a need you have that you don't know about. So whatever your needs are, God knows what they are, and He's able to do far more abundantly than what you even ask for. Paul is talking about the extreme power of God here. We are very, very little. He is very, very big. Now, understand my words here. God doesn't have size. He doesn't have a body. People say, God's big! And they'll be like, I know what you mean, but God doesn't have size. He's spirit. So Paul says, to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask of or think, than all we ask or think. You can't even think about what God can do, totally. He says, according to the power that works within us, according to the power that works within us, what is the power that works within us, or who is the power that works within us? It's the Holy Spirit. We are able to go to God because we've been adopted as sons because of the atonement, and now the Holy Spirit lives in us. We're in the family. And he says, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The Greek word for amen is amen. All right? So be it. This is how it is. So to God be the glory, not just now, but to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, which is the church is Christ's possession. So to God be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Ion to ion, from age to age. So we translate that forever and ever. That's what those Greek terms mean. In Greek, saying from age to age is basically saying forever. Now, here's a bit of a little apologetic point that I'm going to make to you before I move on. When somebody reads a verse like this and says, glory be to God forever and ever, from age to age, they don't think anything of it. They don't have a problem when it says forever and ever. But when somebody reads a verse that says, and the smoke of their torment will go up forever, and somebody thinks about, oh, that's cruel. God wouldn't send people to hell forever. Let me think of a word to turn ion or ionios, which is a cognate word of ion. Let me find a way to make this just mean for an age and not forever. So here's the challenge for the annihilationists, whether it be the Jehovah's Witness or a Seventh-day Adventist. And they'll probably get further with a Seventh-day Adventist than a Jehovah's Witness, because a Jehovah's Witness is thinking, well, the Watchtower teaches this, therefore it's true. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. The Watchtower teaches this, therefore it's true. And they understand the Bible through the Watchtower. You may have an easier time with a Seventh-day Adventist because, well, they have a lot of wrongness. They don't have a Watchtower. It's a different kind of cult. It's not like they're brainwashed in a cult like the JWs are. So you go to a Seventh-day Adventist who believes in annihilationism. You say, Seth, why would I argue about this with a Seventh-day Adventist? Well, to show the teachings of their church are wrong, because they're not just wrong about this, they're wrong about other things more seriously. So that's a chink in their armor. Oh, look at, it's not Mary Baker Eddy. Who am I thinking of? Ellen G. White. Look, it's a chink in Ellen G. White's armor. So you go to the Seventh-day Adventist, you go to a passage like this, and you say, do you think God has glory forever and ever? Yeah, God always has glory. Not just in this age. No, His glory will never end. No, God's glory will never end. Is that what Paul's talking about here? Yes, that's absolutely what Paul is talking about here. All right, do we have eternal life? John 3:16. Absolutely, eternal. We live forever. It's not just this age, but it's forever. Okay. So you agree that we have eternal life. We agree that Paul's talking about forever here. Now, when the Bible talks about, and I guess this would be John in Revelation, when there's a discussion in the Bible elsewhere about the smoke of their torment going up forever and ever, and the worm won't die, and where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when the Bible talks about the eternity of hell, how come you don't think that means forever? How come you just think that means an age? Aren't you picking and choosing? That's going to put a stone in their shoe. And the average Seventh-day Adventist that you talk to, Seventh-day Adventist pew sitter, And this goes for the average Southern Baptist, Christian, or Methodist, whoever. Most people don't know Greek. The average person's just like not going to be able to process that. And you can be like, well, ion, ionios, and this means this, blah, blah, blah. How come you accept that it means one thing here and not another thing there? That's going to trip them up. It's going to put a stone in their shoe. So there's an apologetic tool for your toolkit. Is Paul, you know, that has absolutely nothing to do with Ephesians 3, 19 through 21 and what it means. He's just talking about the glory of God forever. But remember, as you go through Scripture, think about what the words and concepts mean, and you're able to apply it elsewhere, apologetically. A good apologist is a good theologian, and a good theologian knows his Scripture, knows his words. Now let's talk about Trump's advisory council. All right? Donald Trump has this religious advisory council, full of evangelical Christians, broadly speaking, evangelical Christians. I'm not saying Christians in that they're saved. I'm saying sociological, they're evangelical Christians. All right. And on this religious advisory council are Ronnie Floyd, Jack Graham, Richard Land, and Robert Jeffress, and Jay Strack. Three of those men are former presidents of the Southern Baptist Convention, extremely influential in Southern Baptist life. They're megachurch pastors. Jay Strack is a mega evangelist. He was paid thousands of dollars by NAM from Bob Record's fund. You can call it a slush fund before Bob Record left. I think Jay Strack's in big with Johnny Hunt. So he's a big evangelical, like Baptist influencer. Supposedly he's an evangelist. And then Richard Land. Richard Land is the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. But more notably, he was president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission for 25 or 30 years. Huge influencer in Southern Baptist political life. And get this, if you're a Southern Baptist. The current Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission president, Russell Moore, during the election wrote anti-Trump articles, basically saying it's unchristian to support Donald Trump. His predecessor in the same office is on Trump's advisory board. All right? How's that? Anyway, so here's all these influential Southern Baptists. All right? I'm a Southern Baptist. I like to think I'm influential, at least to my tens of listeners. And if I was partnering with absolutely wicked people, I'd hope no one would listen to me and they'd think negative things about me. Do you know who else is on Donald Trump's religious advisory board? Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, prosperity gospel heretics, possibly demon-possessed. Paula White, prosperity gospel heretic. See, who else can I name? Oh, Jensen Franklin, charismatic, borderline prosperity gospel. You guys know Jensen Franklin because I can do a spot-on impression of him. You know, Jensen Franklin was in the news the other day. He didn't like Donald Trump's alleged crap hole comments. And do you know why? Well, Jensen Franklin's giant charismatic church is out of Gainesville. And there's a huge chicken industry in Gainesville. Poultry is a popular product in Gainesville. You ever notice how Jensen Franklin sounds a lot like Will Ferrell doing an impression of Harry Carey? But that's how he preaches. So I'm Jensen Franklin. I have a mega church in Gainesville. I've got another operation in California where I can really draw the money in. And in Gainesville, the poultry industry is huge. Now, that's a low-end job that no one wants to do here in entitled America. So what happens is immigrants from Mexico come here. So I have a huge Hispanic population that I want to get in my church and give me money. And I love it that they're uneducated in English and that they didn't go to college and get a lot of education, and they may come from a Roman Catholic background, so they don't know the Bible from the back of their hand. So they'll be fooled by me, Jensen Franklin. But I can't be on this advisory board with Trump if he's running down the terrible countries that they're from. All right? So in my estimation, that's why Jensen Franklin came out the other day against Trump's crap hole comments about nations, third world nations, where some of our immigrants come from, legal and illegal. I don't know if he used that exact word, but that's supposedly what he said. But anyway, we have Jensen Franklin, who's just this hack charismatic preacher, all right, on this religious advisory board with Paula White, who I think she recently said, send in your entire January income to me for a blessing. That happened. You can Google that. This is one of Donald Trump's spiritual advisors, religious advisors. And then Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. We are little gods, is what they preach. We control the weather. Kenneth can rebuke a tornado. Listen to them. They're on video saying this. I'm going to confess the billion flow, Kenneth Copeland. All right? Robert Morris, Gateway Church. Tithe to me. Gateway Church is where Todd White is a member. So on the one hand, we have all these Southern Baptists. They're at least website orthodox, and Jack Graham, Richard Land, Ronnie Floyd, hugely influencing what I think is Bible-believing Christianity. And on the other hand, we have arch-charismatic prosperity gospel heretics who may be demon-possessed. Now listen, your average Cleveland, Tennessee Church of God pastor around here is not a vicious Kenneth Copeland wolf. So don't associate, he's charismatic, they're all wolves. No, but Kenneth Copeland is a howling, ooh, wolf. He's evil. He is evil, in my opinion. All right. So we have some of the most wicked people in America on the Trump Advisory Council. And when Trump was running for president, what did you see? Robert Jeffress, who may soon be a Southern Baptist president, he's on the Religious Advisory Committee with Floyd and Graham. You know what? I said there were three presidents. They're not. It's just Floyd and Graham. Robert Jeffress was never a president. Let me correct that. Oh, by the way, James Dobson's on there, Mr. Focus on the Family. He's extremely influential to evangelicals, especially Southern Baptists. And when Trump was running, you had David Jeremiah, Southern Baptist megachurch pastor. And Robert Jeffress, Southern Baptist megachurch pastor, pray at the same time, laying hands on Donald Trump with Paul White, female pastor, prosperity gospel preacher, charlatan hoodwinker, evil wicked person who oppresses the poor, with Kenneth Copeland, evil wicked person who oppresses the poor, Robert Morris, evil wicked person who oppresses the poor. Do you see a theme here? Alright, how does Robert Morris do that, Seth? By teaching, if you tithe to his church, God's going to bless you. Alright, his church is all kind of messed up. Right. There's so many messed up churches out there that, like Pulpit and Pen, we can't really report on how bad Gateway is. It was bad. Oh, and Jensen Franklin. I'm the worst preacher there ever was. I can't exegete scripture at all, but lots of people listen to me. Jensen Franklin's terrible. He's another guy that's like on the fringe of awfulness, but like there's people so awful in front of him, like Kenneth Copeland, he can't get as much coverage. But Chris Roseborough's covered. So, orthodox influencer of biblical religion partnering with wicked people on Trump's spiritual advisory or religious advisory council. Now, here's the thing. These people aren't telling Trump. I don't think these people are telling Trump how to get saved or how to be a good Christian. He's not a Christian. I don't think he's saved. He's never asked for forgiveness. He's a nominal Presbyterian Church USA person. What they're telling him is this is how evangelical people think. These are our audiences. We know how they, we'll tell you how they are. This is how you can talk to them to get elected. And in turn, maybe you can give us power and appoint a conservative Supreme Court justice. But this is where ecumenism gets us, y'all. We have supposedly orthodox Southern Baptist ethicists and SBC convention presidents, influencers of thousands, pastors, partnering together on a council with the most wicked, demonic people on planet Earth who oppress the poor. They are the ear-scratching teachers the Bible warns us about that people accumulate to themselves. The wicked people do. They're literally the people warned about in Scripture. And Southern Baptists are partnering with them to help some governmental initiative. Well, we can get our Supreme Court justice. We can influence the president. We influence him. He influences us. Light partnerships with darkness through ecumenism. And the ecumenism is done in the name of temporal power and influence. How can the salt be salty if it loses its saltiness? And it makes me wonder if Ronnie Floyd and Robert Jeffress and Jack Graham, Richard Land, and Jay Strack, well, they just sell Chevys while Paula White sells Mercedes. They know their people, they know how to make people gather, and they know how to make people give them money. It makes me wonder if they're in the same business. They're just selling a different product. Because not everybody is stupid enough or greedy enough to buy into the prosperity gospel, all right? So Kenneth Copeland and TBN and Glory Copeland, get those people. But there's other people who want to be religious, evangelical. How about, you got evangelical, you got evangelical people. So some of the evangelicals will go over to the Paula Whites. But some are like, I ain't believing in that. You're not getting a month of my income. I just want to go to a regular church that preaches the Bible and, you know, mixes a little Fox News politics in there. I'll go to Robert Jeffress. So they pick up that part of the market. Guys, if you don't see that a lot of religiosity out there is just people catering to a target market, I wish you would. And you know what? James Dobson is never going to be able to look me in the eye. And nobody out there, you James Dobson fans, and I know a lot of pastors in my town like James Dobson, don't anybody sit there and look me in the eye and tell me James Dobson cares about the Bible. And that's why he cares about families. Nobody. Nobody. You're being judgmental, Seth. Darn right. Nobody who cares about the gospel is going to partner with the most wicked, demonic heretics in the world so we can make an influence in the government, on Caesar's government, controlled most likely by the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. Let's influence the god of this world with his foot soldiers, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Forget you, Robert Jeffress. Forget you, Ronnie Floyd. Forget you, Jack Graham. Forget you, Richard Land. Forget you, Jay Strack, and your thousands of dollars of NAM slush fund money. Look it up. Spending God's Money by Mary Kenny Branson. Forget you, James Dobson, and your radio program about how to help families. What about all the families Kenneth Copeland's destroying when old grandmas are giving their Social Security checks? Because they're looking for blessings. Kenneth Copeland and Paul White, because they think they're little gods. And all the people are destined for hell, on the highway to hell, on the fast track to hell, because they've never heard the real gospel about the real God from people like Kenneth Copeland. If Jeremiah and Isaiah were alive today, they'd be outside of these people's churches calling down fire. And our Southern Baptist leaders are partnering with him on some Washington, D.C. council to influence Trump. Forget you. That's what ecumenism gets you. People looking for power and creating their mega churches and getting their millions and their giant salaries claiming we're saving souls. No! You're grabbing up power in society. You want to find somebody who doesn't care about the gospel as much as he cares about his position in this world? Find an ecumenist. and they're drifting to the top of the Southern Baptist Convention and getting elected as president. And little pastors all over the country are looking up to them and looking for their models. Don't believe it? Pastor's Handbook by John Bassanio, assigned to me in my church leadership and administration seminary class. It was either that or pastoral ministry. John Bassanio says, if you want to get a good youth program, look it up. It's in the book. Look at a with it church like First Baptist, Springdale, Arkansas, now called Cross Point, pastored by Ronnie Armani Floyd, who hires a photographer to walk around with him and take pictures of him praying. I've talked to people who've worked with him. That's true. I know it. There's witnesses for it. That's ecumenism. That's what ecumenism is doing to the visible church. Think I'm joking around or making up the effects? That's it. Had somebody write me today, talk about how a Roman Catholic was leading worship at one of her old church. That's ecumenism. But it's more insidious when our Southern Baptist leaders, we're supposed to be the light, y'all. We're supposed to be the ones who believe. Our Southern Baptist leaders partner with the demonic. Birds of a feather flock together. I'm going to Kroger to get some ribs. I didn't think I would get all fire and brimstone on the Christian commute today, but I did. Short show today. Thanks for listening. Guys, don't forget to write in to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. That's the Christian Commute inbox. It is your theological roadside assistant. Send in your questions about theology, apologetics, or your show topic suggestions. As always, God bless and thank you for listening.